Today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 6, 5 and 6. Let us all stand in reverence to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, "When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' Looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine.'" Let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for your word. This morning, I pray that you give us the wisdom to be able to understand it, that you give us the knowledge to understand what it is that you want us to know this morning, to understand what you want to say to us in our lives and our hearts, O Lord. Thank you once again for this church, for these group of believers, these brothers and sisters who are here this morning. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So I've started a couple of weeks ago a preaching series on the end of time. It is a preaching series that describes what people call the end of the world. You've heard that? People talk about that? They've had that question. How is the world going to end? It's a major thing, you know, inside the church and outside the church. But you know something? It's not what many people think, how it's going to end. There's a time period in the Bible that's called the tribulation period, the tribulation. It is also called God's wrath. And it's going to be a time God will deal with humanity head on. Right now, many people have many opinions. There are so many ideologies, there are so many religions, there are so many world views. There's so many that it makes your head spin. But you know, all of this will be confronted during this time period. God, humanity will be shown firsthand who the true God really is and has been. I want to let you know that the church is not here for this time period, because something extraordinary is going to happen. The church will be taken. The church will not be here for the tribulation. And at the end of this preaching series, I'm actually going to talk about the rapture of the church. Many people do not know about this event. It is in the Bible. We cannot overlook it. But after the rapture of the church, after Jesus comes and takes his church, the countdown begins. There will be a series of events that I do not believe that humanity, that mankind is ready for. Things will happen during the tribulation period that will be in a great scale. It will be a destruction as never seen before. It will be a devastation as never seen before. God will confront mankind for their wickedness. God will confront mankind for their evil. The church, again, will not go through this. but must be aware. The church must be aware. The church must know that this is going to happen. And the question is, why? Why should the church know if the church is not going to be here, preacher? Let me tell you why. Because it must create, the church must create an urgency to tell others that danger is coming. It must create an urgency to tell others that the only salvation is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus is the only one that can save. Jesus is the only one that can forgive. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen? Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's like a feedback, so if you can help me out there. Many, including Christians, pretend, even today, that this event will not happen. That the tribulation is only symbolic, that it will not exist, that it cannot happen. But I want to tell you today that it will happen. And not only that, church friends that are here today, the rapture of the church and the tribulation can happen at any moment. And we must live our lives as if Christ can come right now. We must live our lives as if Christ is coming tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that Christ is coming, let's say tomorrow at 9 a.m., it's almost 11 o'clock, what would you do? What would you be doing between now and tomorrow morning? I bet you that you would probably not leave this church. I bet you that you would be here praying the whole time until Christ came tomorrow at 9 a.m. I can bet you. So my question is, why aren't we doing it now? Because the rapture of the church and the tribulation can happen at any time, and we must live our lives as if Christ is coming now, because he can and he may come at any time. Do you know that Jesus himself addresses this? He addressed the indifference of the people from the things of God. He addressed the indifference of the people from making God a priority. Let me read to you actually what Jesus said, his own words. And I'm reading from Matthew 24, verses from 36 to 44. And Jesus says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And this is what's interesting to me, verse 37. He says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and they were drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, having a good time, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing," key words, I'll get back to that, "and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left." And he says, Jesus says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord, your Lord, will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you," and he's talking to us, "so you must be ready." That's what Jesus said. "You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at any hour when you do not expect him." Now, verse 44 is a key verse. It says that we must be ready for the coming of Christ. And we must be ready. And Jesus said, and it's very clear, and he said that Noah's generation was not ready. Verse 39 says that they knew nothing of what was about to happen. In other words, they did not look into what Noah was preaching about, was telling them. And I'll mind you that Noah preached to them 120 years. Did you know that? They did not investigate what Noah was preaching about. It literally took them by surprise. The flood hit them right between the eyes. And the reason for that was because that generation, and I believe like this generation, had other priorities. Getting closer to God was not one of them. Having a relationship with God was not one of them. Coming to church was not one of them. Being in community with godly people was not one of them. They went on with life as if God did not exist. And unfortunately, this generation, Noah's generation, paid for it. And by the time they could react, it was too late. And that is why this preaching series is so important. And Jesus himself here is giving us an alert. He's saying that what happened to Noah's generation could happen to ours. Therefore, we must be careful. Last week, we looked at the second seal. That second seal unleashed a war like never seen before. And if you remember weeks before that, a first seal was unleashed, and that seal unleashed the Antichrist. It introduced the man of perdition. He was allowed to bring a false peace. And according to Revelation, the world will live in peace, but it will be for a very short while. Revelation says that that peace was just literally taken from them. War will break out and kill billions of people. Today, we look at the third seal. This third seal will hit people where it hurts. You want to know where? Like right here. This third seal is going to hit people in their bellies. Yikes. This third seal talks about famine. This third seal talks about hunger. Again, today's seal is a tough one. Let's go back to verse 5. And the word of God says, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and this rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Preacher, tell me what that is talking about. Interpret that verse for me. It means that there will be worldwide hunger as never seen before. Personally, again, this was very hard for me to relate. I personally have never gone hungry, at least not more than 6 hours. I'm just being honest. You know, years ago when I was a student, I didn't have much money. And I used to go to this little restaurant called White Castle. Anybody know? Yeah, everybody have eaten there? White Castle? And, I mean, to me, at least to me, the food was delicious. I mean, I enjoyed White Castle. But you know what I liked the most about White Castle was the prices. I'm talking about maybe almost 30 years ago. You know, like a hamburger would be like 20 cents, you know? So I would go to White Castle, and I was very hungry, and I would get like 10 to 15, you know, hamburgers with a medium French fries and a Coke, you know? And boy, I was filled up. And it was so good, you know? You know? So guess where I took my wife? You know, to eat. White Castle. You know, it's not that I wanted to take her, you know, to a cheap restaurant. So I didn't have the money to take her to, you know, an expensive restaurant. So my dinner date with my wife was like less than $8, you know. I mean, that's what it costs. But it was great, and I liked White Castle. And you know something? She ended up liking White Castle, too. So all my kids started going to White Castle when, you know, when we had the kids. So it all worked out. But, you know, the worst feeling you can have is the feeling of going hungry. Worldwide, right now, there's 815 million people that are still going hungry, that go hungry every night. This is 1 in 9 people in the world. And according to the Global Hunger Index, 45% of deaths of children under 5 are linked to malnutrition. And just to bring it into a little bit more of a perspective, a person dies of hunger every 10 seconds. Right now. This last year, we have seen how the Venezuelan people have gone hungry. Have you seen that on the TV? Have you seen that? There has been a serious food shortage in that country. So this morning, I have invited Marcos Garcia, who is a Venezuelan and has experienced this food shortage. He came to this country a few months ago, and he landed at our church. And I want to ask him to come. You know, he's a little shy. And he says, "Pastor, I don't know if I can do this." And this is Marcos. And I've asked him today, you know, Marcos, you know, tell me about your experience in Venezuela. Díganos, Marcos. Agárrase el micrófono acá. Póngaselo aquí cerca. Okay? Háblanos un poco de tu experiencia en Venezuela sobre la escasez de comida.
Bueno, Venezuela hay una crisis humanitaria. Ahorita hay una escasez de alimentos.
So in Venezuela right now there is a shortage of food.
Hay escasez de medicina.
There's a shortage of medicine.
Los hospitales no tienen insumos, o sea, no tienen medicina.
The hospitals they don't have medicine.
La gente se está muriendo de hambre.
And the people are literally dying of hunger.
Se está muriendo también por falta de medicina.
They're dying because there is no medicine.
La gente están asaltando los camiones.
And the people they're assaulting the food trucks.
De alimentos para poder adquirir alimentos.
These are the food trucks that are given out to the population.
El sueldo que tienen no alcanza tampoco para comprar los alimentos.
The salaries it's not enough to buy food.
Sí, y entonces la gente tiene que optar. Cuando llegan los alimentos llegan demasiado costosos, no pueden comprar los alimentos.
When they get there, he's saying that they can't buy it because it's too costly.
Entonces la gente opta por asaltos, saqueo a los comercios para.
So the people are opting now to loot the supermarkets.
Para poder adquirir los alimentos.
To be able to at least get food to feed their families.
Hay robos, asaltos a cada momento.
So there's robberies, there's assaults at any given time.
Es un caos total.
And there's a total chaos.
La gente, en Venezuela nunca había llegado a esa crisis humanitaria como la hay ahora.
Venezuela has never been in this type of economical crisis before, ever.
La economía está demasiado costosísima, el costo de la vida está demasiado
costoso. The cost of living is way, way, way too high.
El sueldo no alcanza para nada.
And the salaries that the normal person makes is not enough for anything.
Y bueno, la gente tiene que sobrevivir como pueda.
So people have to live the way, any which way they can. So I want to ask him a question. Marcos, cuando tú llegaste a esta iglesia, ¿cuánto tú pesabas?
94 libras.
I asked him, you know, Marcos, when you came to this church, how much did you weigh? And he's telling me right now, I weighed 94 pounds. Okay. Gracias, Marcos. Dios te bendiga mucho. It's just clap, raise the. What you just heard from Brother Marcos is only the beginning. Verse 5 of what we read earlier says that a rider of this black horse was holding a pair of scales in his hand. So let me explain what this means. The weapon for the last rider, the last seal, seal 2, was a big sword, if you recall. But the weapon for this particular rider, for this particular seal, is a pair of scales. We all know that a scale is a measuring device. So something is going to be measured. That something will be food. Food is going to be rationed, just like it is right now, what's happening exactly right now in Venezuela. And just like Venezuela, in this end time, there will be a scarcity of food. And the entire world population will go hungry. It will not only be Venezuela, it will not only be Africa, it will not only be Asia, it will be everywhere. There will be long lines, there will be a shortage of supplies, there will be a shortage of medicine, there will be an increase in crime. People will be desperate for food. People will die of hunger. The world will be at the brink of starvation. And then verse 6 says this. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine. This means that 2 pounds of wheat you can make bread, for example. 2 pounds of wheat will be all the person will be allowed to eat, no more, nothing more. Not only that, but that person will need to work an entire day to eat that for that day. So in essence, you're going to be working that day just to eat. You will not be able to get up in the middle of the night and go to your refrigerator and make yourself a ham sandwich. Nope. You will not be able to do this. The entire world will live in famine conditions. Now, but the Word of God says you have an option. There's an option here. If you wanted, you will have the option of buying 6 pounds of barley. Okay, that sounds a little better. 6 pounds of barley instead of 2 pounds of wheat. And you're probably thinking, well, okay, that's not too bad. Get a little bit more, right? Sounds better. But here's the catch. Barley is basically animal food. Yikes. So in essence, you'll have a choice between regular food, although little, or dog food. Animal food. And it'll be your choice. It'll be that bad. And then finally, God says, He says this, be careful with the oil and wine. As we all know, oil is what's used to cook. And what God is saying here, you're going to have to be careful how much oil you use. The oil will have to be rationed. And then you have the wine. How many drink wine? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, please. The wine represents a rich person's drink, meaning that the wine will be scarce as well, meaning that even the rich people will be going hungry. People of high economical status will not have food, and they're going to be like everyone else. It will be a desperate moment for mankind during this end time.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.